Call to order this regular assembly meeting of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska on November 10th, 2015 at 7:00 PM. Pledge of allegiance this evening will be led by Assemblymember Steve Prazunka, after which Mr. McConaughey will lead us in the invocation, or give us an invocation, if you remain standing, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, and with liberty and justice for all.
Let us pray.
Dear Lord, as we approach this time of remembrance, let us be forever thankful for the sacrifice of our troops that gave their all for our lives that we enjoy today. Let our city and borough leaders move forward with respectful decision-making, remembering that we are all continuing part of those that set the stage for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Thanks, Don.
Well, we do have one item, ceremonial item, so you mean that's a certificate of service for Corey Robinson. The City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska presents this certificate of service to Corey Robinson for her service and dedication as a member on the Wrangell Medical Center Board from August 2012 to October 2015. Would you see that she gets that service? Roll call, please.
Assemblymember Blake?
Yes.
Prazunka?
Yes.
Rooney?
Yes.
Decker?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
Mitchell?
Yes.
And Mayor Jack?
Yes. Amendments to the agenda.
Yes.
Item four.
Wait.
We do have one item.
I didn't know if we could do that when we got to that item. Okay. The RFP that we received for the mill site, the committee would like to do additional work on that. Some interviews with each person that selected or submitted an RFP. And so I think they have those scheduled later this week. And so we would
like, you want to renew that item?
Yeah, and we'll reschedule that.
No objection.
Okay, sorry about that.
Then do so. Item six, approval conflict of interest. Item four, conflict of interest. Yes.
I'd like to declare a potential conflict of interest on item 13E, the Wrangell Institute Master Plan Development and Subdivision. The group that I work for, Trevor Sandy is on the board of directors, and Trevor Sandy is one of the engineers for one of the proposals that's coming forward.
Will it make any difference to you financially?
No.
And I don't see a conflict of interest.
Okay.
Item five, consent agenda.
I make a motion we approve 6A, 7A, and 7B.
Second.
Been moved and second. Any discussion? Call vote, please.
Assemblymember Decker?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
Mitchell?
Yes.
Blake?
Yes.
Prazunka?
Yes.
Rooney?
Yes.
And Mayor Jack?
Yes. Item six have been as part of the consent agenda. Item seven, communications. We have none other than those letters on the particular items, right?
Right.
Item eight, borough manager's report.
We were told here about 6 months ago that our accounting software for the city, which we've been on for about 20 years, was going to be discontinued in 2018 or 2019. And then recently here, within just the last few weeks, last 30 days, we've been told that they are now, that's been moved up to 2017. And so Lee Burgess and I have been looking at replacements because this is going to happen pretty fast. And there's usually about a 6 to 9 month scheduling period once you select one of these to get scheduled and for them to come in and do the installation and training and the conversion and all the stuff that goes with it. It's quite consuming. And so anyway, we went to Craig here this last week, and Craig uses one that we're interested in. We've also talked to Haynes, which uses a different one. We're trying to find one, use one that is used with other Alaska Southeast communities or state communities. There's also one in Seward we're looking at. But anyway, this has come to the head rather quickly. So in less or just over a year, they will no longer service ours, and if they won't service it for payroll and other things that where tables and things change as the tax laws change and stuff, we wouldn't be able to run our system here. So anyway, we are, and we don't have this budgeted because we didn't know this was going to happen this quick. We don't know at this time exactly what it's going to be, but we'd like to send an RFP out to get proposals from the various vendors that do this, especially in Alaska. And then at that time, we will do our due diligence in selecting one and then bring back that to the assembly. We probably won't actually have to, we'll have to make a commitment to get on their scheduling list for probably next fall, but we won't have to pay any money then, but we'll have to have a commitment from the assembly that whatever that amount is. So anyway, I just want to let you know that we're in that process and we don't have much choice. We can't operate without that. Does payroll and taxes and receivables, payables, our general ledger and all our budgeting and reporting. So, and anyway, so the lady in Craig was, we spent about 5 hours with her there, and she was very helpful and she's very happy with her. She's been on that system for about 10 years, a little less, I guess, but showed us in detail, or you know, answered our questions and how does this work, how does that work. So she was very helpful and, you know, volunteered to help as she could as we went through this process. In addition to that, we had some time there after that. We actually met with Bob Blasco. He lives in Craig and spends some of his time there. Actually have his office over his garage, so talked about some various city things going on with him there. And then I took Lee to, we got back to Ketchikan, took him to the SEPA offices and introduced him there and to the folks there that he communicates with by email but never has talked to anybody, so I thought that was good for him. So anyway, it was a good trip, and I think, you know, you listen to salesmen and yeah, can do this and can do that, but unless you just sit down with someone that actually uses it, that doesn't have something in the game there to benefit, you really don't know for sure what you're really buying until you talk to someone that's using it and has used it for a long time. And so anyway, that's coming up, and we'll try to hurry that along and so we can get it in the scheduling so we don't get into trouble when it comes to 2017 and don't have a system to work that works.
Any idea what we're looking at for cost on this, just ballpark, what we could expect to see?
Well, one of them we're looking at, and I think that's the higher end, and we're not all that crazy about it. They're talking, and that had, all of these have a bunch of different modules. You know, they have a zillion different things you can add to it. And this might have been everything they had, but they were talking, you know, $100,000 to $125,000. I don't think the one we're looking at is near that expensive. I would guess, you know, half that maybe. But basically, you can't run the city without it. So. And we've got 20 years on the other one, so we feel pretty good that we certainly got our money's worth out of that. But it's because they knew they were going to phase it out, they really haven't done much to it in probably 7-8 years, and so it's really archaic. There's just so many things that doesn't work well with, you know, any of the new technology, and so there's some other reasons that it will be good to do this. So.
You said they had been using this for 10 years. Have you checked into
how long that one's going to work?
I don't want to get us into a system and then find out they're not supporting it.
Right. And, you know, it's hard to tell with these for sure. We've had two major systems on our computers in my 35 years. And so we've only had two in that length of time. So we've been lucky that we've got one and it lasted for a long time. And then got another one and it lasted for a long time. And I don't think there's a guarantee with that, with software companies and stuff. I mean, they can come and go. This one seems to be pretty solid. They have a good client, nationwide clientele. They seem to be reasonably successful. And what happens a lot of times with these is if they do, something happens, and that's what happened to our current one, is another company will buy them out sometimes, and then they'll continue it for usually quite a length of time. But I understand, and but I don't know if you have any of the ones we could get could disappear in a period of time. So
my concern is new technology, and this stuff is changing so fast, Jeff. But I think you need to make sure that whatever you buy has got a future down the road. I agree with you.
Yeah,
if it's 10 years old, that's already probably extinct.
Yeah.
And so I think whatever we buy, let's make sure that's got a future and it's new and it's
right.
And we don't get left in the dust. Of these computers are the same way. 2 years old, you throw them in the garbage.
I was going to say, along those same lines, with the new software coming in, or is our current hardware going to be compatible with that, or are we going to have to upgrade hardware at the same time?
Well, I'm sure at some point we're going to have to.
Yeah, we just got a brand new server within the last 6 months, and it sounds like it will run fine on that.
Okay.
There is some other hardware, because some of that is at the point of sale when you come in. Now it's done through a cash register. That likely will be done through a computer, and it'll automatically go into the computer rather than kind of do it through the cash register. You do something, then you enter that in the next day after you've balanced your cash. So there will be changes, some hardware with that. The other thing that happens with our old software, because they knew they were going to discontinue it, they didn't put any effort into it or any money into it or any changes. Where this one, she said they're changing it all the time to upgrade it, and she's had, they have upgrades every few months. And she said what happens is they have, a quarterly meeting, and anybody that's on it makes suggestions about things they would like to see or change, you know, because of technology changes. And they've been pretty receptive to those suggestions and made the software changes to it. So they seem to be progressive and want to keep up with everything that's going on and keep adding new features. And so I think it's once they decide, someone buys them out, and they decide this is going to expire in 7 or 8 years or whatever it is, I think that's the kiss of death, and you're not going to see a lot of changes at that point. But we're kind of pushed into this, and so we'll certainly do all our research that we can and then bring something, a recommendation back to the assembly.
Anything further? Thank you. Verbal clerk's
fine. Other than what's in my report, the only thing I have is to remind everybody about the upcoming newly elected boards commissions training, and I hope to see you all there. December 3rd and 4th here between 1 and 5 for both of those days, and I'm really excited to see what he has in store for us. But I'll be there too, because he doesn't really know parliamentary, and he said he would probably look for direction. So,
yeah. Sorry, can I just revisit a question to Jeff really quickly?
Sure.
Sorry. Is there a possibility that we can coordinate software with hospital, with AICS? Is anybody else, or is this a specific software for accounting for a borough?
It's pretty much nonprofit and governmental software, and the hospital uses more of a enterprise medical system, and yeah, they're pretty much, this is for, like I said, any nonprofit, they have a lot of nonprofits, they have a handful of cities in the state. or in the state of Alaska and other places, but it's pretty much a, there's a certain governmental software, there's certain things that have to come with that versus like an enterprise or a business. Oh, thank you.
Thank you. Mayor Assembly reports and appointments. Are there any reports by any assembly member? Go ahead.
We had a special meeting for SEPA last week, and both Clay and I participated telephonically on that one. And we were looking at the possibility of purchasing Belle Island. Belle Island is located sort of almost directly in between Ketchikan and Wrangell. The interest there is that there is a thermal reserve. There's a hot springs there. And we were very interested in the potential of putting in a thermal production site there, because our intertie is less than a half a mile away from that site, so we'd have a way to tie right into our intertie. And it would work out to be about 3 megs continuous, which 3 megs isn't a lot, but continuous is a lot. So we were interested in that. And so we did some preliminary work short of drilling a hole, because these holes are very expensive. They're very deep and they're very expensive. And so we've done some preliminary work, and we've decided at this point in time, we had rights of first refusal on the property, and we've decided at this point not to pursue it. Mostly due to, we don't believe there'll be any major outside funding sources to help work and install this facility, and it would be a huge pot of money for us to do internally between the communities. So Trey, it was Trey's recommendation to shelve it for now, and we'll wait and see down the road. There may be an opportunity. There is a purchaser of the property, and there may be an opportunity down the road to potentially work with that person who purchases the property and maybe do a lease or something where we'd be able to access the thermal reserve. It's extremely complex. I had no idea how complex it is. It actually involves having to pump down major amounts of fluid in order to capture that thermal energy, and a fairly large footprint at the site to transfer that into electricity. So there was a lot of deliberation went into it, but at this time we decided to pass on it and keep moving with other projects. So I think it was a good decision, and everybody was comfortable with it as we moved along.
Anything for me? Yes.
I just wanted to mention for the assembly, I asked the clerk to forward a survey that Representative Ortiz is doing about the fiscal budget in the state. And he was in town a week or two ago, along with someone from the state, giving a presentation, which was in Jeff's report. But he has an active survey on SurveyMonkey, and so you all have that information. And if anyone from the public is interested, they can contact the clerk to get the website. But it's a very simple, like, 5-question survey about what your preferences would be as a citizen. So he's just trying to get a temperature for the community or his district in what their interest is in solving the fiscal gap.
Yeah.
Two real quick things. First off, with tomorrow being Veterans Day, I'd just like to say thank you to all our veterans in town for their service and for their sacrifice. The second thing, I had talked to Jeff briefly about, did you have time to look at our emergency preparedness plans and that kind of thing?
I had Kim dig out the plan, and I've talked to Doug about it briefly, and kind of where we're at, what kind of the question is, how often do we meet, how, you know, drills, you know, how often do we do that kind of thing, how is it formulated. So I guess I'm in the process of learning more about it. In the past, other managers probably had done that. I was never really involved in it other than about 20 years ago. But that's kind of where we're at right now. I'm just trying to get up to speed on who does what and how often.
Okay. I'd kind of like to be involved in that, just go through and do a review of it and see if there's anything that needs to be updating, any changes that we need to bring, and then we can put together something and bring it to the assembly. And
I know that the fire department, Jamie Roberts, does a lot of work on that ongoingly, and we have, it's a fairly elaborate, well-organized plan.
Okay.
And there's coordinated trainings between the hospital, fire department, and the airport. On every year, we have to do a mass casualty. So there's, it's there. People may not be aware of it, but when they go to the police department, also involved with that too.
See, that was part of my concern. Is there, I mean, it's not been advertised or anything as far as a shelter, and whether or not it's stocked with cots and things like that. Do we have some place to put people up if there's ever a major earthquake or anything, those kind of things? So.
And the fire department has been given, and I don't know exactly where they store them, but they've been given cots and all kind of other things. Jamie Roberts, she's paid through a grant that we have, and she does a lot of the things with chemicals and things like that, mm-hmm. like what the, she goes to the various businesses in town that have ammonia and some of these other things, identifies those, what kind of safeguards and what kind of procedures each one of them have. And so there are parts and pieces to a lot of this, and whether there's an overall thing that brings that together. And
if you'd like.
Sure.
Yes, there is a disaster plan for the community. The one that we've got now is probably 10 or 12 years old. It's had some revisions as we go along. Jamie Roberts is in the process of actually, the one we've got is like the Encyclopedia Britannica. It encompasses everything, but it's not very useful. And Jamie is in the process right now of coming up with the Cliff Notes version of one, which we think will be far more useful for a community okay. this size. And that's all through the LEPC, Local Emergency Preparedness
Group.
And we generally meet quarterly. And she was just in Anchorage for their triennial meeting.
And about 3 months ago, we did a, two people came in from state, and one that was from down south, and we did a two-day workshop for mass casualty work. It was tied in with the ICS, the hospital, the representatives from the police department, but it was everything to help coordinate that whole idea of being overrun by disaster.
Okay.
One question Daniel had asked me, and I don't know the answer, but for the general public, like if there was a tsunami or a major thing, does the public know where to go? I know I was in Craig and they had signs all over tsunami and arrows pointing, you know, where to go and different things like that. I don't know if that would be something that
The difference between Craig is they're right on the outside,
right.
where they could actually get a tsunami that people would need to go to higher ground immediately. The chances in here of actually having a tsunami that you didn't have an hour or so to prepare for to get people herded up is pretty remote. And if you did, it would be because one of these hillsides right here sloughed off, and the only warning you're going to get is when your feet get wet.
Yeah, not so much tsunami, more earthquake oriented. I realize we're protected from the outside by all the islands that are between us, but
one of the troubles we've got when we go into the emergency plans, you'll see that there's a lot of places identified as suitable, but there is no one plan, because depending on the earthquake, you may or may not have a high school when you're done. So then you pick amongst the others and decide which you're going to use for an emergency facility.
They used to store a lot of water and that kind of stuff in the basement of the post office, but I think they moved that all out. That used to be the emergency center.
Yeah, I'm not aware of them having anything like that anymore.
Now, now the only thing they have is 30-year-old mail that hasn't been delivered.
But so, as far as a lot of times people get the idea that if you have an emergency plan, you open it up when this particular emergency is going on, and it encompasses everything. And that's not realistic. There's some that are written that way, but the reality of it is if you have an earthquake here, the first thing you've got to do is figure out what you've still got left standing and then decide how to use it. So it's more of a list and a set of priorities to go by rather than a, it's not like a recipe or instructions. And 10 or 15 years ago, that's the way a lot of the plans were written, and they found they don't work very well.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you. Any other reports? Okay, the next item on the agenda is appointment to fill the vacancies on the various boards and committees. We did receive one letter of interest for the Planning and Zoning Commission today. Mr. Duke Mitchell had turned in a letter of interest, and with the consent of the Assembly, I will appoint him to that Planning and Zoning Commission. We also have two more seats open on the Planning and Zoning Commission, two on the Economic Development Committee, and two on the Nolan Museum Civic Center Board. If any member of the public is interested in those, please send in a letter of interest. We would appreciate it.
Mayor?
Yes.
I got a question for Kim. Mm-hmm. I haven't been here for the last three meetings, so or two meetings, but does the public know now that we don't have to,
yep.
It's been put out a lot, and they know that we don't have to report our income and all that stuff?
As much as I can.
Okay.
Yeah, so I've had a couple of people talk to me about planning and zoning, and I've expressed, and I've even tried to solicit people, and I tell them that they don't have to do that anymore. So.
Well, the reason why I really ask is that because a lot of people... I mean, after the elections, even before the election, were asking me, what was this? What's this about?
Mm-hmm.
You know, they really didn't know what it was about. I mean, you could read it, but they didn't understand it. So mm-hmm. I just wanted to make sure that the public knows that they don't have to report income and all that stuff anymore.
As much as I could okay. advertise that, I have.
All right. Thanks.
It's a good question.
Tim C, appointment of one voting member and one alternate member to serve on the SEPA Board of Records. Steve Pazunka has turned in a letter of interest on the voting member as a voting member, and Clay Hammer has turned in a letter as the alternate or member, and I will go ahead and appoint them to those seats. Next item we have is appointment of an assembly member as a hospital board liaison. Does any member have an interest in that or a willingness to serve on the hospital board?
I'll point Steve.
Nope. I'm doing my thing. Bye.
That
would take a motion,
so
yeah.
But we can continue it on to the next one if we need to.
Does anybody
want
to do it?
I can't. They meet while I'm still at work.
How many meetings a month is it?
One meeting a month.
One meeting a month, and I believe it's on Wednesday.
It is.
Mm-hmm. I think Becky just volunteered for that job.
That's what I was saying too.
A lot of interest.
Yeah, a lot of interest in that question.
I make a motion that we let Becky Rooney to fill that position.
Also, second.
Second. Oh, well, please.
No discussion.
Assembly members Mitchell?
Yes.
Blake?
Yes.
Pasanka?
Yes.
Rooney?
Yeah.
Decker?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
And Mayor Jack?
Yes.
That's pretty good.
That's the way you get it.
I wanted the one planning the zoning meetings.
Actually, we should have had a motion on the SEMA board to.
No.
To do.
No, that wasn't necessary. That's at the, you appoint in the consensus of the assembly.
Okay. So we did it properly?
Yes.
Okay. I just want to make sure you did it properly. Okay, that's takes care of that item. Item 11, persons to be heard. There are no persons to be heard. Okay, that would take care of that. Then item 11, unfinished business. Item 12A, proposed ordinance number 911. An ordinance of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, amending certain sections of Chapter 15.18, garbage, of the Wrangell Municipal Code relating to maintenance of refuse containers and outside burning of certain materials, and amending the section on penalty for violation to reference the minor offense fine schedule in Wrangell Municipal Code 1.20.050. This is a revised third reading.
Move to adopt ordinance number 911.
Second.
Been moved and second. Any discussion? Roll call, please.
Assembly members Blake?
Yes.
Pasanka?
Yes.
Rooney?
Yes.
Decker?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
Mitchell?
Yes.
And Mayor Jack?
Yes. Proposed ordinance number 912, an ordinance of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, amending the minor offense fine schedule in Chapter 1.20, general penalty of the Wrangell Municipal Code. This was postponed from the October 26, 2015 meeting, and this is a third reading.
Move to adopt ordinance number 912.
Second.
Been moved and second. Any discussion? Roll call, please.
Assembly members Pasanka?
Yes.
Rooney?
Yes.
Decker?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
Mitchell?
Yes.
Blake?
Yes.
And Mayor Jack?
Yes. Item 13, new business. Item 13A, approval of an electric department rate study.
Move to accept HDR Engineering's proposal to conduct an electric rate study in the amount of $24,990, with funding to come from the electrical department's approved budget for this project.
Second.
We're moved in second. Any discussion on this item?
I have all kinds of problems with this. First off, when we did the whole Thomas Bay SEPA thing, we promised everybody rates wouldn't go up. And I realize this doesn't have anything to do with that, but it's going to appear that way. Every time we do a study, it means we're going to raise rates. And I have a hard time justifying that to people right now. Then when you get down into exactly what this $24,990 is paying for, the project engineer himself is making $375 an hour. That's, I don't know anybody that's worth that. And when you go out here on the street and you get some of the people working in our downtown businesses and they're making minimum wage and we're telling them we're going to pay somebody $375 an hour to justify raising their utility rates, that's going to be a hard sell. I think we need to take this $25,000 and invest it in some of the equipment that is aging that needs to be replaced and try to make it last another year.
Yeah.
I have a little bit of heartburn about this too, and part of it for me is that 5 years ago we conducted a similar study where we applied to from what I could see, many of the same metrics. And I went and looked at other communities who also conducted the same sort of studies around Haines, Skagway. Wasilla did one, but wasn't just specific to rate study for electricity, for the electric. But 5 years ago, these folks came in and did a rate study for us and took none of our infrastructure, near as I can see, into consideration 5 years ago, which to me would be absolutely crucial to conducting a rate study. And now we're going back out with a no-bid contract, which is $10 shy of our maximum amount, to have another rate study done. I am concerned about it. I'm not opposed to figuring out what we need to do regarding our infrastructure, but it does bother me that 5 years ago we did a rate study with no consideration of our rate structure, and now we shoved that down, we kicked that can down the road. So now we're 10 years out and looking at what we have to do. And I kind of want to understand how this company would allow us to make such a monumental mistake to not include our infrastructure in. I don't know what our previous contract was worth, but I'm assuming pretty close to this amount of money. The second thing is they develop a metrics for us for doing this process, and I went in and looked, and we actually own the metrics. We own the Excel spreadsheet at the end of the day. And so we've already paid once for this process to be done. And now we're coming back, we're paying the same amount of money to go plug in some new numbers that, in my opinion, shouldn't have been plugged in the first place. So I am a little bit nervous about these guys coming back in for another $25,000. And I think we need to ask some pretty strong questions about how we wound up not having this considered in 5 years ago before we jump in with another huge contract. But I know this isn't huge in the electrical world, mm-hmm. but I don't want to make the same mistake again because I don't think we got good quality last time.
Yeah.
When I looked at this, I recognized that 5 years ago we didn't do that system study, which looked at the infrastructure, which is why we need to go back and do this again. I don't know why we skipped that step, but... So now with the system study in place, we'll have a more accurate, you know, rate study. But I think, I'm not sure because I've never done one of these, but it seems to me like it's just a projection of rates. It's not that complicated. And maybe in-house people could do it, especially based on the last, if you combine the last rate study information with the system study. I don't know. But the thought occurred to me that it's not rocket science, a rate study. But... maybe there's some blanks that we're missing, information that we don't understand.